we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Atlanta, Georgia, the venue for Sunday's 53rd Super Bowl of American-style football. The New England Patriots will play the Los Angeles Rams at the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, which opened in 2017 after being built at a cost of $1.5 billion. You heard me right, billion dollars. The Patriots have been the dominant team in the National Football League over the past two decades. This is their ninth Super Bowl appearance in the past 18 seasons, and they'll be aiming for a record-tying sixth Super Bowl trophy. With more on the big game, here's my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson. But first, a drum roll, please.
It's almost time to kick off Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta, Georgia, Sunday, as the Los Angeles Rams face the New England Patriots. Bill Belichick says his New England team will have a serious challenge against the Rams, led by second-year coach Sean McVay.
I see a good football team out there that's been consistently good for the 2 years that he's been there. They've led the league in scoring over that period of time. They're very good on defense. They're very explosive in the kicking game. Really every play is a problem, and he's done a great job of creating that type of explosive attacking team that's very hard to play against. And obviously they haven't been beaten very many times over the last 2 years. They have a great record.
Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has won five Super Bowls and expands on the threats he sees in the Los Angeles Rams.
You know, this is a team that challenges you on every single play. So they have an explosive offense. They've gotten ahead in a lot of these games. They have an explosive defense. They've scored five touchdowns on returns for touchdowns, either on special teams or in defense. They've got an explosive D-line, strip sacking the quarterback. You just can't lose your concentration for one play because these guys will just turn into points.
Los Angeles Rams defensive tackle Ndamukong So wants to keep Tom Brady and his running backs from scoring points.
I think collectively as a defense, it's going to be important for us to get after the quarterback. But first and foremost, we've got to shut down their run block. We've got three elite running backs that are putting up a lot of yardage, which is going to be a big task for us.
Quarterback Jared Goff was the Rams' first-round draft pick in 2016 and was just 6 years old when Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl. While it's a game kids dream of playing in, he wants Los Angeles to cap a great season with a championship.
We're excited for the game. You know, we've been preparing for this all year, and you start the season hoping to get to a moment like this, and you know, we made all the additions in the offseason and came into the year, you know, with some hype, and we're able to live up to it for the most part, and going 13-3, winning two playoff games, and now we're here, and we're excited for the game.
The Rams advanced to Super Bowl 53 after a controversial no call on an apparent penalty that helped push Los Angeles past the New Orleans Saints 26-23 in overtime. New England also won in overtime, 37-31 over the Kansas City Chiefs, to set up a bid to win a record-tying sixth Super Bowl. The Patriots have been in the last three title games and four in the past 5 years, while the Rams have waited since 2002 to play in the big game.
Thanks, Jim. That's my Voice of America colleague, Jim Stevenson. If the Patriots win the big game on Sunday, they'll equal the NFL record for Super Bowl championships, six, held by the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now we'll hear from the two Super Bowl coaches, Sean McVay of the Los Angeles Rams and Bill Belichick of the New England Patriots. When the Rams hired McVay in 2017 at the age of 30, he became the youngest coach in modern NFL history. McVay says he knows he has some work to do to equal the achievements of the 66-year-old Belichick.
To even be mentioned in the same breath as Coach Belichick, I've got a long way to go to even be in that category. I mean, he's done it for so long, so consistently, but I think some of the things that I'd like to, you know, to learn from when you watch and appreciate what he's done for so long is the consistency.
For his part, Bill Belichick says the Patriots have had a good week of training as they get ready for the Rams.
I think our team's done everything we've asked them to do this week. They've worked extremely hard. They've been focused. They've spent a lot of extra time doing things. The Rams are a hard team to prepare for, as we've mentioned, and they've done a lot to try to put in extra time and preparation for that.
That's Bill Belichick, the head coach of the New England Patriots. The Patriots will play the Los Angeles Rams Sunday in the 53rd Super Bowl in Atlanta, Georgia. And speaking of Atlanta, I think many Nigerians have good golden memories of Georgia's state capital. During the Atlanta Olympics in 1996, Nigeria won Africa's first ever gold medal in men's football. And also in Atlanta, Chioma Ajunwa Opara became the first Nigerian athlete to win an Olympic gold medal. Chioma won gold in the women's long jump at the 1996 Olympics. Iron Mike Mbonye caught up with Chioma in Lagos and asked her, "Do you think Nigerian athletes can duplicate your gold medal winning performance at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics?"
Yeah, we need to. Here in Nigeria, we have a lot of talent. But you see, when the talent come out, without getting the proper help, they wither away. Because we have some athletes from this country that are really performing outside here. Those athletes were not born there. They left here probably after 6 months. They started becoming a superstar. That is to tell us that we are not doing the right thing. And I believe that we have them, thousands and one of them here. Only just a little push, those athletes can repeat the feat I did in 1996.
Talking about athletes who are based at home and abroad, what suggestions do you have to put them together and make them form a formidable team that can win medals for Nigeria in the 2020 Olympic Games?
Yeah, that is starting in time. In those days, we used to go for training tour. And I believe the essence of going for training tour is to make sure that the athletes are being groomed together, they train together, and you expose them to certain competitions and certain facilities. But here, that has not been done. Rather, is diminishing every year. They will tell the athletes to go and train and come for the trials. I've not seen any country that could say that. No matter how strong the athlete seems to be, he cannot train himself or herself and go to the Olympics and win the medal. There are so many things that need to be put in place. And until we know how to do that, I believe our athletes, they are capable, but they are not getting the proper help.
That's Chioma Ajunwa Opara, who won the gold medal in the women's long jump at the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta. And Chioma was talking with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, Magumi Davis Rakawinge in Kampala will have a feature on the traditional game of Kwipena, which some Ugandans hope can be turned into an Olympic sport. But first, this Voice of America programming announcement.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week, right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now let's go to Uganda, where fans of the traditional dodgeball-like game of Kwipena are hoping to see it one day become an Olympic sport. Megumi Davis Rakawinge joins us now from Kampala with this feature on Kwepena.
Kids gather in Imperial Way, a Kampala suburb, to play their favorite game, Kwepena. They have used old rugs to make a tennis-sized ball they will use. Parents have gathered around to watch their kids play. One of the kids playing is 12-year-old Jovian Altaya, a primary 5 pupil.
I like the game of Kwepena because I play it at school and at home. My friends come and meet me and I play it and I like it.
For centuries in Uganda and other parts of Africa, young children as well as adults have engaged in this game. In both the traditional Kwepena and a modified one, the game requires an open space with two persons at the opposite side, known as shooters, and one person or several in the center will be dodging the ball. Each dodge earns points for the one in the center, while each hit also earns for the shooter. Misk plays in the air at Uganda Museum, where the game is played with the new rules. One of the players here is 23-year-old Janet Komugisha, a social worker.
People have fun when you're playing it. It's like you're running, exercising. You have fun. I like it. It's fun. When we were young, we used to play Kwepena. Those games where people used to fold balls in banana fibers and you dodge yourselves. Yeah, we had so much fun. So it being brought back in a modern way is more interesting and fun.
According to the standard rules, there must be a team of at least 5 who play 4 rounds each for 15 minutes. The court is 10 meters by 4 for the juniors and 14 meters by 4 for seniors. There are also 2 umpires that officiate the game. The game also has a new name, Cheza, a Swahili name which means to play. Another player here is Halima Kabambale, a marketing agent. Kabambale hopes one day she'll be able to represent Uganda at the international scene in the game of Kwepena.
I think it brings out who we really are. So for a child that is, let me say, 10 years, for them to want to play Kwepena, it's from the love they have from within. I would want to play rugby, but rugby is not African like our own. I want to play a game I have grown up playing in my backyard, and I'm taking it on international scene.
The man behind the move to make people like Kabambare's dream of playing Cheza game at the Olympics or other international avenues is 25-year-old Simon Peter Tumukunde.
Kwepena is a game that is played everywhere across Uganda, but also everywhere across Africa. But we just call it different names. If you go to Kenya, they call it Kati. If you go to Tanzania, they call it Rede. If you go to Rwanda, they call it Akohejuri. In South Sudan, it's called Boruboru. You know, Zimbabwe, I think they call it Maflau. So it is everywhere across Africa. And it is one of those games that we believe can grow with the right innovation and attention and value added to it.
Since 2013, Tumukunde has been working with a team of volunteers to promote the game across the country. For now, Tumukunde says he intends to organize an international tournament involving countries in East Africa.
There's a ball that does good.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Megumi. I enjoyed learning about Kwepena. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now with a package of African sports news is Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. We begin with the draws for the qualifiers of the Total African Nations Championship CHAN Ethiopia 2020, designed exclusively for footballers playing in their domestic leagues. The draws was held at a CAF headquarters in Cairo, Egypt, on the sidelines of the organizing committee of the competition. 47 teams are engaged in the battle for 15 places to join host Ethiopia for the final tournament of the 6th edition of the tournament. Staying with CAF competition, the 21st edition of the African Under 20 Cup of Nations is set to kick off in Niger Republic from Saturday the 2nd of February 2019. Head coach of Nigeria's Flying Eagles, Paul Ayebogun, speaking to journalists shortly after the team's final training session in Abuja, expressed confidence in the ability of the players to perform at a continental showpiece. Super Eagles head coach Gernot Rohr has said he will be encouraged to invite any player from the under-20 national team that impresses at the African Championship, which begins tomorrow. And now to Ghana, where Ghana League Clubs Association Chairman Kujo Fiano has announced that he will run for the Ghana Football Association presidency. The former Ashanti Gold chief is the latest high-profile personality to declare his intention to contest for the top job. Fiano, who has vast experience in football administration, says he wants to raise the profile of Ghana football, hence his decision to contest for the top football position in Ghana.
Our team that qualify for Africa shouldn't just go and roll through and come back home. And we want to see the days of the Accra Suffolk, the day Suffolk and Kotoko played in the Confederation Cup finals. My vision is to bring sanity into the game, let people have that trust in our game.
And to East Africa, where Athletics Kenya has intensified the fight against doping amongst Kenya athletes after the local federation formed a Kenya Doctors Network aimed at dealing with athletes with health conditions. Jackson Tway is president of Athletics Kenya.
If you are going to run abroad and you have a problem, a medical problem, as you go to the doctor there, make sure that you contact one of the doctors in the Kenya Doctors Network here in Kenya, so that your record is taken and everybody knows what your ailment is and what drugs you have been given.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
In National Basketball Association action Thursday night, Los Angeles Lakers superstar LeBron James made a triumphant return to the lineup after being sidelined more than a month with a groin injury. LeBron tallied 24 points, 14 rebounds, and 9 assists as the Lakers beat their city rival, the Clippers, 123-120 in overtime. After the game, LeBron said, and I quote, "I'm definitely ecstatic about being out there with my guys, but being out 5 weeks, I'm feeling it right now." And speaking of those 5 weeks, that's the longest LeBron James has been sidelined by injury during his 16-year career. The Lakers had a record of 6 wins and 11 losses while LeBron was out. Still in California, Cameroonian star Joel Embiid had another big game for the Philadelphia 76ers. Embiid scored 26 points and grabbed 20 rebounds to help lead Philadelphia to a 113-104 victory over the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors. With the victory, Philadelphia snapped Golden State's NBA best 11-game winning streak. Philadelphia improved to 34 victories and 18 defeats, while Golden State's record is now 36 wins and 15 losses. Now let's go to Canada, where in a matchup of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, the Milwaukee Bucks scored a 13-point victory against the host Toronto Raptors. The AP's John Lethierby reports from Toronto.
A 24-point lead in the second half was enough cushion for the Eastern Conference leading Bucks on this night, winning at 105-92. Four times the Raptors got it to within 6 points, but the Milwaukee defense held firm. In a game that had a playoff-type atmosphere, Giannis Antetokounmpo led the way for the visitors with 19 points.
You can tell the intensity was really high. You know, both teams wanted to win tonight, and you know, it was a game moment, you know, game that mattered.
Newly named All-Star Chris Middleton added 18, while DJ Wilson added 16 off the bench. The Raptors' nemesis was the three-pointer, going just 7 for 27 from beyond the arc. Pascal Siakam led the way for the home side. He had 28 points. John Leatherby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. John mentioned Pascal Siakam and his game-high 28 points for Toronto. The 24-year-old Siakam, like Joel Embiid, is from Cameroon. Now let's go to Florida, where the Orlando Magic beat the Indiana Pacers, as we hear now from the AP's Kyle Cassandra in Orlando.
The Orlando Magic break their losing streak and get a win against the Victor Oladipo-less Indiana Pacers 107-100 in Orlando. The Magic were led by guard Terrence Ross, who had a Magic career-high 30 points. Pacers head coach Nate McMillan says his team just ran out of gas.
We tried to play the bench really throughout the game to try to give our starters a breather. They made a little run, and Ross was just unbelievable tonight. We gave up that 38-point fourth quarter. And I thought our guys did get a little winded.
The Magic also saw a big performance from their all-star center, Nick Vucevic, who found out he made the all-star team during player introductions. He had 17 points and 10 rebounds.
One of, obviously, the best nights that I had in my professional career. An amazing feeling to be selected as an all-star. A huge honor. My team helped me so much get to this level this season. My teammates believed in me all year long.
Kyle Cassandra, Orlando.
Thanks, Kyle. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In two more NBA results Thursday night, the Detroit Pistons beat the visiting Dallas Mavericks 93-89. And in Texas, the host San Antonio Spurs edged the Brooklyn Nets 117-114. We heard Orlando's Nick Vucevic talk about that amazing feeling of being selected for this month's NBA All-Star Game, which will be played February 17th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Let's take a quick look at the starters for the annual All-Star Game in the Eastern Conference. The starters are Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks, Kawhi Leonard of the Toronto Raptors, Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers, Kyrie Irving of the Boston Celtics, and Kemba Walker of the Charlotte Hornets. And I'm sure Walker will get a few cheers playing on his home court in Charlotte. And in the Western Conference, the starters are LeBron James of the Los Angeles Lakers, who, as I mentioned earlier, made a triumphant return to action Thursday night after being sidelined more than a month with a groin injury. Two members of the Golden State Warriors, Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, will also start in the All-Star Game, as well as Paul George of the Oklahoma City Thunder and James Harden of the Houston Rockets. In more football news, 2022 World Cup host Qatar has been crowned champions of Asia for the first time after beating Japan 3-1 in Friday's Asian Cup final. Amawez Ali got the Qataris off to a dream start at the Zayed Sports City Stadium in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. He scored the opener after just 12 minutes. Abdulaziz Hatem made it 2-0 in the 27th minute with a stunning long-range effort. Japan pulled one back in the 69th minute on a clinical finish by Takumi Minamino. With 7 minutes left on the clock, Akram Afif converted a penalty kick for Qatar. Final score from Abu Dhabi, Qatar 3, Japan 1. Qatar wins its first Asia Cup title. And that wraps up the February 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a super weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty of VOA Africa. I will be in Nigeria starting February 6th to cover the general election. Listen to my daily report when you tune in to our news shows, Africa News Tonight, Daybreak Africa, Nightline Africa, and International Edition for the latest from Lagos.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
On Press Conference USA, host Rebecca Ward and VOA's Philip Alexiou speak with William R. Kerr, a professor at Harvard University's School of Business, about the H-1B visa program. Professor Kerr is the author of a book on the subject. He believes the United States needs to attract skilled science and technology professionals to continue its leading role in high-tech industries. Listen Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
An international group of scientists has identified a new giant plant-eating dinosaur species in South Africa. The team's research and findings are detailed in a study published in the journal Current Biology. Called the Ledumahadi Mafubi, which in the South African indigenous language of Sesotho means a giant thunderclap at dawn. The study suggests when it was alive about 200 million years ago, it was the largest land animal. According to the researchers, the dinosaur weighed about 12 metric tons and its height at its hips was about 4 meters, which was about twice the size of a large African elephant. The dinosaur remains that led to this discovery were found near Clarens in South Africa's Free State Province. Study authors say the Ledumahadi Mafubi is a close early relative to sauropod dinosaurs such as the Brontosaurus. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.